This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll hear first from Theater 5 this week. Their episode, titled Five Strangers, first aired December 28, 1964. After that, it's The Jack Webb Show, featuring guest Midge Williams. That episode aired April 17, 1946.
Theater 5 presents Five Strangers. Central portions of the country. The extremely foggy conditions are expected to extend at least into the mid-morning hours. All flights to and from this airport have been canceled until further notice. I repeat,
Look at it out there.
Thank you.
I beg your pardon. Are you speaking to me?
No. I'm sorry, it's this rotten weather. Mm. I've been here at the airport for 9 hours waiting for it to lift.
Yes, I saw you when I arrived.
Look, haven't I seen or met you somewhere before? And of course. Baines Cosmetics. You're Deborah Baines.
That's right.
Yes, I remember now about the newspaper story. It concerned your new line in cosmetics, right?
Well, it's a little more than that. You see, I've been negotiating with another leading cosmetics firm for, well, I really shouldn't be discussing it.
Oh, I understand perfectly. But it must be pretty important.
Well, it's extremely important. In fact, a great deal depends upon my arriving in Chicago before 9:30 in the morning.
Well, that makes two of us, Miss Baines. My deadline is 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
After that, things are sure to get pretty sticky. If this fog doesn't lift soon, I don't like our chances.
Oh, can't we do anything about it?
Yeah, I'm afraid not. By the way, my name is Monroe. Stephen Monroe.
Oh, not Stephen Monroe Enterprises. Well, now it's my turn to be impressed. I've heard quite a lot about you, Mr. Monroe.
Don't you believe more than half of it?
Which half?
Well, the half I hope they believe.
They?
Yeah, the two over there on the bench. The old man and the lady.
Did you say lady?
Yes. She does seem a bit overpainted, doesn't she?
With Baines Cosmetics, I trust.
People like them are very important to us, Miss Baines. They buy your cosmetics and my,
schemes?
I prefer to say buy my dreams.
Oh, come now. Shouldn't you say pipe dreams? Now, I don't mean that in a nasty way, Mr. Monroe, but you must admit that most of the companies you float have a way of suddenly going bankrupt.
True, but on the other hand, you must also admit that everything I do is completely legitimate.
Ah, tricky, but legitimate.
We both have to skirt corners a little bit, don't we, Miss Baines?
Do we?
As an example, let's take your deal with Antoine Laboratory Products. Since the consummation of that deal, Antoine's stock has gone down to precisely nothing, but Bain's stock has doubled in value. I salute you on that one.
Thank you.
And I imagine that if you keep your appointment in Chicago, Bain's stock will soon show another raise.
Well, I'm not in business to lose money.
No, nor I. You know, when you think about it, we're very much alike.
I think I'll accept that as a compliment, Mr. Monroe.
I'm pleased that you do. However, I wonder what the public, represented by those two people over there, I wonder what they'd think if they knew the truth about us.
Ah, there's the rub. I'm quite sure we won't let them learn.
Ah, you're so right. The way I see it, Miss Baines, there are two kinds of people in this world.
Hmm?
The winners and the losers. Our two friends over there are the losers.
Well, yet you must admit they have a certain amount of determination.
Why do you say that?
Well, there are only the four of us left in here in the waiting room, and a few hours ago there were scores of people. I wonder where it is that they're so anxious to go, and why.
No, one thing is certain.
What's that?
They're not together. I haven't seen them speak to each other yet.
Oh, but they will, Mr. Monroe. The losers of this world need company. They have a kind of herd instinct that ultimately brings them together.
This waiting, it is not so nice, yeah?
I can think of better things to do.
Oh, no doubt. Let me see. I have been here now for more than 3 hours.
Hmm. Beautiful looking watch.
Oh, thank you. You know, at one time people took great pride in owning pocket watches like this. Entirely handmade, carefully and lovingly made. Yeah, but now, when everybody's life is actually old by time, people buy watches that come out of machines, like Frankfurters. many of the watches are very, very good, but it is not the same.
Are you a watchmaker?
Yeah, yes, ever since I am a young man in Europe. But now I am an American citizen for 35 years. Yeah. 35 years, but I do not lose the way of speaking or even sometimes of thinking. Oh, you must excuse me. I introduce myself. I am Felix Kramm.
And I'm Sally Dowse.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Sally. I hope you do not mind my talking to you like this?
No, not in the least. Talk away, Mr. Kramm.
Good. Helps to pass away the time, yeah?
Oh, yes.
Time. Time has been my whole life. That is why I wish to fly to Chicago. There's a watchmaker's convention tomorrow. There are not many of us left to keep the old ways, but we do our best.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
How nice of you to say that. How very nice. But now we talk about you, yeah?
Oh, well. There isn't very much to talk about, Mr. Kramm.
What? No, no, that I do not believe.
No, no.
You are a most pretty woman, a nice person. We all have something to say, loved ones to think about, to tell others about.
Nope, you're drawing a blank this time.
Blank?
Loved ones to talk about. They're not in stock at the moment.
You have no family?
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to...
No, it's all right. Don't let it keep you from taking out your photographs.
Huh? How did you know?
Oh, just a guess, Mr. Kramm.
Well, I would like to show you one photograph. Here. This is a picture of my family.
Yes. Very nice family, Mr. Kramm.
We get together a few times a year. This photograph was taken during the last family gathering at Christmas time. Sally?
Yeah?
You look so tired.
I was born tired.
It is not of my business, but where are you going?
Well, I'm trying to go to Chicago.
You have work there?
Well,
I... No, do not answer. I am an inquisitive old man who asks far too many questions.
I'll tell you something, Mr. Kramm. You know, it's a nice change to have someone interested enough in me to ask questions.
I am sure that many people are interested in you.
Yeah, but for the wrong reasons. You see, Mr. Kramm, I'm what you might call an entertainer.
You sing?
Well, I dance, you might say.
Oh, that must be very exciting, that kind of life. Have you been on TV, Sally?
I don't do that kind of dancing.
Oh, the fog seems thicker, if anything. I have never seen such a fog. It's like smoke from a fire.
I had known about this fog, I'd have taken a train this afternoon.
Yeah, well, it's too late for that now.
There must be some way to get there. You know, if I don't arrive in Chicago by 9:30 in the morning, I stand to lose a fortune.
What about me? I've planned this move for months. I'd have been there yesterday if it hadn't been for a sudden business deal.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Listen.
The latest weather report predicts widespread fog conditions to prevail over the eastern and central portions of the country for at least the next 7 hours.
Oh.
High winds are expected to reach the Chicago area by mid-morning. These winds from the west will undoubtedly disperse the fog. And Chicago...
Mid-morning? But it might just as well be next September.
The weather report could be wrong.
Let's face it, Miss Baines, we've had it.
Well, I am not going to give up.
Neither am I. But all we can do is sit and wait and hope for a miracle.
I'd give almost anything to get to Chicago.
How much is that in cash, lady?
What?
I said, how much is that in cash?
I don't see how my business concerns you.
Well, the point is, it could. You see, I represent Togar's Independent Air Service. Maybe you've heard our motto. We fly anywhere, if the price is right.
I've never heard of your company, Togar.
Well, usually we carry only freight.
Do you have an aircraft available for a flight to Chicago?
That's why I'm here, Monroe.
Oh, you know me, eh?
Of you.
How do you get a clearance in this fog?
I don't need a clearance. I operate from a field about 10 miles from here.
And you'd be willing to fly, even in this weather?
Well, if you don't mind flying in a DC-3.
Are you a qualified pilot?
Now, look, I was listening to you two. I know how badly you want to get to Chicago. All right, I can fly you there. The rest now is entirely up to you.
How much do you want for the trip, Mr. Togar?
Well, a few minutes ago, you said you'd give almost anything. I'd still like to know how much that amounts to in cash.
Well, I'm willing to give you $500.
Right now, I'm bartering with the lady, Monroe. I'm sorry, but $500 is not enough. Make it $1,000, you got a deal.
I have no choice. I'll pay you the $1,000.
Fine. I'll have you in Chicago before 9 in the morning.
Well, how about me?
Well, how about you?
Well, I'll throw in $500.
I'll tell you what, Monroe. You just wave that $500 in the air and see if it'll fly you to Chicago.
Now, see here.
As far as I'm concerned, Monroe, you can walk.
All right, Togar. $1,000.
Now you can fly.
Pardon me?
Yeah?
I'd like to get to Chicago, too, but $1,000...
How much do you have?
You'd laugh if I told you.
Is it more than 50?
Yes.
Well, that's my price, 50.
What? You're charging her only $50?
That's the tourist rate. You're first class. But don't get me wrong, Monroe. When I say first class, I'm talking about the rate. By the way, I collect my fares in advance.
I don't like your attitude, Togar, now.
Well, there's nothing at all that I like about you. Now just pick up your luggage and shut up before I change my mind about taking you.
Mr. Togar, what about my friend here, Mr. Cram? He'd like to come along, too.
Yeah. Do you have room for me, too, Mr. Togar?
Do you have $50?
Yes.
Then let's go.
Togar?
Uh-huh. What is it?
Do you mind if I come forward?
No, come on. Matter of fact, I can use the company. Yeah, sit down.
Oh,
right there. Be
thanks.
My co-pilot. There's coffee in that thermos. Help yourself. You can finish it.
Oh, thanks. Hot coffee.
Yeah. Hey, you must be cold in that thin outfit you're wearing.
Well, it's not the cold as much as it was the company back there.
Oh?
Yeah, Mr. Cram went to sleep. I was left with the other two.
The con man and the cosmetics lady, huh?
Oh, I knew about Deborah Baines, of course. She's always in the papers. But he's new to me.
He isn't to me. My father invested money in one of Monroe's companies. The company folded. It was a setup from start to finish. My father had one major failing.
Yeah?
He trusted people.
And you don't.
Well, you noticed that I collected my fares before we took off.
What I noticed mostly was how you enjoyed taking Monroe's money.
Yeah, yeah. It was exactly $1,000 that my father invested in his company.
Yeah, but you charged Deborah Baines $1,000, too.
Well, that was for associating with Monroe.
Oh. Soupy out there, isn't it?
Couldn't get any soupier.
How are we doing?
Better than I expected. Hey, you must be pretty anxious to get to Chicago to fly through this stuff in an old DC-3.
Oh, I got a job waiting for me.
Oh?
At the Paradise Club.
Oh.
Ah, you've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, I've been there. What kind of a job?
Dancer.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I should have said strip teaser.
Well, that's dancing.
You must be joking.
There are worse ways to make a living.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know.
Say, that old fella back there.
Oh, Mr. Cram?
Yeah. He likes you. I mean, in a nice kind of a way. And I figure he's a pretty good judge of character.
Well, it's a new line.
Funny thing is, I think I mean it.
Hey, you're making a pass at me.
Of course. A serious pass. As a matter of fact, I'm going to watch your debut at the Paradox. And I promise you, not once will I ask what a nice girl like you is doing in a place like that.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Toger, it's cold back there. You have any blankets?
Nope.
Well, shouldn't this plane be heated?
Well, cargo doesn't need heating.
What's in that thermos bottle?
Well, there was some coffee, Mr. Monroe, but I finished it.
Where are we, Toger?
9,000 feet above the ground, halfway to Chicago. Now, why don't you just go back where you belong?
Well, she's here, isn't she?
At my invitation.
I wonder why.
Well, listen, you stink.
It's all right, Mr. Toger. I don't mind. I grew up on talk like that. Runs off my back like water off a duck.
Hey, what's that?
Huh? Oh, it's just the starboard engine. I'll have to feather the prop. Don't worry. One engine will do the job.
Hey, that engine's on fire. It's burning.
What? Listen, both of you, get back with the others. Lie down on the floor. Brace yourselves against something. I'm taking her down.
Mr. Cram, are you all right?
Yes, Sally, I think so.
Miss Baines? Monroe?
We're still in one piece, Toger. No thanks to you.
All right.
Mr. Toger, over there.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah. A light. All right, everybody.
All right.
Come on. Come on. Hello? Hello, anybody in there?
For heaven's sake, try the door. It's freezing cold.
All right.
Oh. What a strange place.
It's absolutely bare. Empty. Just the door and one window.
Mr. Cram, are you sure you're all right?
Yes, just a little tired, maybe.
Well, why don't you sit down and rest, huh?
No, my dear. I think I will stand here by the window with Mr. Toger.
Stay with us, Sally.
Aye.
Here. Hold my hand.
Yes.
Oh, a touching sight. Well, enjoy yourself while you can, Toger, because you're in real trouble. That aeroplane of yours should have been condemned. We were fools to let you talk us into that flight.
I didn't have to talk you into anything. You practically begged to come aboard.
I don't think a judge and jury will be concerned about that. You mark my words, Toger. You're in real trouble.
Mr. Monroe, I'm frightened.
Now, there's nothing to be afraid of, Miss Baines. All we have to do is wait for a search party to find us.
But the light.
The light? What are you talking about?
This room. It's illuminated.
Well, of course it is.
But there's no lamp or bulb. Where's the light coming from?
Well, there's also the crash, Monroe. We plowed straight into that mountain. Now, just look at us. No injuries. Our clothing isn't even soiled.
We were spared by a miracle, Toger, but it'll take more than a miracle to keep you out of jail when I'm finished with you.
Right now, Monroe, you're the least of my worries. Have a look out there.
Eh?
Yeah, there. Right through the window. You can see the flames, can't you?
Well, there are men out there.
Yeah.
Well, we're safe.
Oh, look again. Go on, Monroe. Look.
They seem to be carrying something from the wreckage.
Five stretchers. One for each of us.
I'm scared.
So am I. Hold on tight.
Well, what does this mean?
It means we're dead, you fool. We're dead. We're dead.
Yeah. And the question now is, what happens next?
Theater 5 has presented Five Strangers, written by Don Herring, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Augusta Dabney, Court Benson, Evelyn Juster, Robert Dryden, and William Redfield. Audio engineer, Neil Pultz. Sound technician, Ed Blaney. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Ted Bell. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
The following is transcribed.
No, it isn't.
The following is transcribed.
No, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
It is, too.
It is not.
It is.
It isn't.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
The following is not transcribed.
This week, the Major League Baseball season opened. In keeping with this, the American Broadcasting Company brings you the first foul ball of the season. It's the Jack Webb Show in its fifth consecutive strikeout. Nothing new has been added. The Ragged Airs will play tonight, but without their director, Phil Bavero, who only confused the men anyway. That spiritual singer, Clancy Hayes, of the firm of Haig & Haig & Hayes, will conduct his usual contest with the orchestra. She's young, she's pretty, she sings. That's three runs for our side, vocalist Nora McNamara. John Galbraith, an Oakland boy, and the only argument we can think of against the Bay Bridge, will play rats and second lieutenants and spooky people, and, oh yes, a wonderful gal with a wonderful voice has made a terrible mistake tonight. Midge Williams has agreed to set her career back 10 years with a guest appearance on the Jack Webb Show. My name is Jordan, and I'm going to find a nice, quiet room until this thing blows over. Why don't you do the same?
Ladies and gentlemen, how are all our listeners out there? Both of you. John Galbraith, put your glasses on so you can find the microphone and come on over here, will you?
Hello, Jack. My boy, that's certainly a healthy crop of freckles you've picked up in the San Francisco sunshine.
What do you mean, freckles? Those are the holes in the microphone. Put them on, will you?
Yeah. Hey, of course. How stupid of me, Jack. Your head doesn't say ABC on it, does it?
Neither do yours, John. Don't we have a grand studio audience here tonight, John? Do you know who these boys are?
Who are the girls?
Finally got the... you finally got those glasses on, huh, John? Well, these men are 200 Army patients from Letterman General Hospital here in San Francisco, and most of them have only been in this country 4 days, some of them one day.
Jack, who are the girls?
I think we ought to have some ruffles and flourishes for the generals here tonight.
Who are the girls?
Welcome home, generals.
Who are the girls?
The girls, John.
Oh, say. Yes.
There's 75 hostesses from the Oak Street USO.
Aren't they, though?
Yeah, well, I guess we ought to have some ruffles and flourishes for them, too, you know? Yeah. They've already got the ruffles. Let's just have the flourishes, shall we? That is the first time that those guys have ever gotten together since we went on the air. I
Presenting
a page torn from the private files of Slim Slade, Western bandleader.
We return to the little western town of Howdyville, where a group of citizens are talking. Howdyville, nobody quite knows how it got its name.
Howdy.
Slim Slade, just a poor old cowpoke out on the plains of Howdyville.
Hey, Slim, what you doing out there?
Oh, just poking around the cows.
Well, come on over here. Got a letter for you with a city writing on it.
Letter with city writing, hmm? Didn't know nobody I knowed could write. Don't make no difference, though. I can't read.
Well, you don't have to, Slim. I done read it.
Oh, what do it say?
Oh, don't say nothing, Slim. It's just a letter.
Well, I don't mean talk say. I mean read say.
Well, why don't you talk say what you mean say?
Yeah.
It's from your brother.
Oh, that's Slick.
That's right. It's signed Slick Slade.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I'm going to get the boys. Hey, Weasel, Fox, and Snake. Sounds like a zoo, don't it? Come on over here, boys. Hey, anybody seen Enchilada Gomez?
See, Slade, I'm over here taking a little fiesta.
That's siesta.
See.
Come on over here, boys.
Well, howdy, Slim.
Howdy. I got a letter from a brother in Hawaii.
Slim, I believe that's pronounced Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I never was much good in them European names.
Well, go ahead, Weasel. Here's the letter.
Yeah, Weasel, what do it say?
Why, don't say nothing, Slim. It's just a letter.
Well, I don't mean talk say. I mean read say.
Why don't you talk say what you mean say? It's from your brother.
Daggone, I know that.
Well, the letter says...
I thought you...
Quiet, Slim. Dear friend brother, I'm making lots of money. I never knowed when I left Fort Worth there was so doggone much money in the world. I'm making lots of money.
Doggone, brother.
Doggone, brother. Money's one thing I got plenty of. Like Ma said, money can't buy friends. But who wants friends when you got this much money?
Doggone, brother. Sure must have struck it rich.
Doggone, brother. I sure struck it rich. I'm making plenty of money. I got myself a Western band, and we play Western music.
That's a novelty.
And we're all making lots of money over here in Hawaii. We call the Western band Slick Slade and his Gila Monsters. That is all for now on account of I have run out of gold paper, which I'll write on, and besides, my 24-carat diamond pinpoint done busted. Your friend, your brother, Slick. P.S. sure am making lots of money.
Brother Slick is right. We're going to do the same thing. We're all going to organize a Western band.
Good idea, Slim.
See, Slade, I think we better do it banana.
That's manana.
See.
Come on, saddle up, boys. We're going to ride to New York. I'm going to write the tunes on the way. All right, boys, come on, come on. Move in. We're going to rehearse a spell. Now, here's a tune I read. Music and notes by me. It's called... Oh, this will kill you. When it's apple blossom time in Fort Worth.
Oh, that's awful pretty, Slim.
Yeah, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Now, let's play it through. You ready on the drums, Enchilada? I want plenty of drums in this. All right, you ready, boys? Here we go. Play it just like she was wrote. Everybody set?
Hey, Slim, what's all these little black spots all over this paper?
I was wondering about that, too, Slim. Seems to me you could have got clean paper. Well, you know, as long as you was a-paying for it.
Them's notes. Them's what you play.
Oh, excuse me.
Now, come on. Here we go. I'm on count three. Are you ready? Put her in haw. I'll stomp my foot three times. Get set now. It's going to come fast. You got to be ready. Let's play her just like she was wrote. Don't leave nothing out. It's all good. If you get lost, keep it going. Don't go straggling all over this song like a doge. Come on. Relax. Tighten up. Smile. Frown, because you're going to enjoy this one. Steady in the saddle. I'm a-counting. One, two. Hold it. Hold it, boys. I better tell you. We're going to start this number on... Three. You got that, boys, or you want to write it down? Here we go. One, two, hold it, hold it. I guess I better announce our name just like we're going to do it uptown. Presenting Slim Slade and his makes you want to dance when they're playing a hoedown and just sit down and cry when they're playing a sad one, Western Band. You think that name's too long? Well, all right, here we go. Real down-to-earth music right out of the dirt. Put her in haw. Well, let's go. One, two, hit it. I forgot I was supposed to say the number three. Hold it, boys, hold it. Hold it, you've done right good on that one. You've done right good on when it's apple blossom time in Fort Worth. Now, I got another one I want to try. Music and notes by me. It's called Horsefly Pie and Apple Pan Howdy. All right, boys. One, two, kick it. Doggone, I always forget to say three. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. That's mighty pretty, ain't it? Which one of those you like the best? Well, never mind. I got another one here I want to try. Music and notes by me. This is a sad one, boys. It's a prison song. It's called I Might As Well Be Sprung. Okay, let's do her. One, two, take her. Now, why didn't I say three? Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. Boys, boys, I gotta say, you sure are versatile. Them three are the prettiest tunes I ever did hear. Now, I think we're all ready to go. But before we do, I got one more tune I'd like to try. Music and notes by me. I call this one, Bang, Bang, Bang Went My Six Gun. That's pretty, ain't it? Kind of nostalgic. All right, boys, one, two, play it. Now, what happened to three?
Slim Slade and his Western band. First, it's the Pennsylvania Roof. Then the Wedgwood Room of the Waldorf. Carnegie Hall, millions of phonograph records, radio coast to coast. Yes, Slim Slade and his band had arrived on the musical scene. And then, one day, disaster.
Boys, boys, I got sad news. They tied the can to us. We're through. We've been fired plumb out of New York.
Oh, what's the trouble, Slim?
Well, the manager of that there radio station told me tonight that we wasn't versatile enough. Said all our tunes sounded alike. I don't know how he figured that. We got 47 tunes. All of them got different names. Music and notes by me. Come on, boys. Pick up your instruments. Let's play a couple of them numbers and see what that fella's talking about. All right. The Go Down Hoedown. That's good. That's good. Hey, wait a minute. Hold it just a minute. Them drums ain't quite loud enough, Enchilada. A little of that melody sneaked through in one place. Okay, more drums this time, and let's hear the Gila Monster Waltz. Okay. Now I want to hear one more. I want to hear "Oh, You Beautiful Texas." This is pretty. I love it. All right, now listen. Now let's go back. Let's do a little reviewing. Let's go way back. Let's hear our first hit. The tune that brung us here. When it's apple blossom time in Fort Worth. Okay, boys. Oh, no. That fella don't know what he's talking about. Them's four of the prettiest tunes I ever heard. But we're going back to Texas. I'm plumb played out. I ain't got another tune in me. I'm just like that fella Irvine Berlin. Only he's got someone to help him with them lyrics. I got to write the notes myself. Saddle up, boys. We're all through. We're going back to poking cows. If we stay here any longer, we're going to get in a rut.
Sure is good being back in Texas, ain't
it? Yeah, I don't miss that Pennsylvania roof, none. Fella by the name of Benny Goodman done moved in after us.
Who's he?
Oh, here comes Slim now. Well, howdy, Slim Slade.
Howdy. Saddle up, boys. We're going back to New York. I've done it again. We got it this time. I wrote a new tune. Music and notes by me, boys. Get this. This is going to be a snapper, this title. It's called When It's Apple Blossom Time in Corpus Christi.
My baby don't care for clothes, my baby don't care for shows, my baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for silks and laces, my baby don't care for high-toned places. My baby don't care for rings and other expensive things, she's sensible as can be. My baby don't care who knows it, my baby just cares for me. Baby don't care for shows, my baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for silks and laces, my baby don't care for high-toned places. My baby don't care for rings and other expensive things, she's sensible as can be. My baby don't care who knows it. My baby just cares for me.
Inside Hollywood. Presenting Hollywood's own beloved, sweet, darling, pretty, vivacious, lovable...
Yes.
Brunella Carsons. Miss Carsons.
Thank you, ugly boy. Good evening, all my friends here in Movie Land. Tonight, instead of my usual drivel... must be a typographical error. They must mean trivia. I'm speaking to you from the sound stages of stupendous pictures, and I want you to look in with me. Shall we be off?
Quiet! Quiet on the set! Quiet!
Somebody's still breathing. Where's my assistant director, Rodney Reel?
Oh, yes, sir. Did you want me, sir?
Reel, you're all wound up. Remember, I'm a busy, busy, busy man directing this picture.
Of course, Monty.
As far as I'm concerned, Reel, you're just about run out. Now. Now, what did I tell you to call me on the set?
You mean what the extras call you?
No, no, not that. Oh, oh. You know.
Yes. Montague Close-Up Muldoon, Director Supreme of Stupendous Pictures, Incorporated.
Hmm. Well, you can leave off the Incorporated when we're among friends. I'm a busy, busy, busy man. This is no B picture, you know. Have we spent any money lately?
We spent $40,000 just 10 minutes ago.
I said lately. What'd you spend it for, Reel?
A bathing suit for the leading lady.
This is no B picture. Give me that checkbook. I'm going to write out a check for another $40,000. Let's get both pieces of that bathing suit. It's indecent. Reel, have I told you lately that I'm a busy, 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 busy man?
Yes, Mr. Busy. I mean, Mr. Muldoon. Now, about this army picture, Mr. Muldoon, I want to tell you something.
Listen, Reel, you can't tell me anything about the army. I know that outfit from A to Z. I was a full colonel in this war, and I spent the entire duration in Washington, D.C. Now, what about that desert scene?
Well, we're having difficulty finding a desert big enough to hold 2,000 troop transports.
Now, listen, If MacArthur could afford to use 1,000 troop transports, Stupendous Pictures can afford to use 2,000.
But there's no desert big enough.
Well, I told you to buy Death Valley. If you don't hurry, they'll start a housing project out there. Reel, you've slipped your spool for the last time with me. I'm taking over the entire production of this picture personally. I promised the Secretary of War that this army picture would be ready 3 days ago. I'll keep that promise.
Yes, Mr. Muldoon.
Have you got that explosion scene ready?
Yes, sir.
Well,
the bomb men have been working on it for 2 weeks. I think you'll like it.
Well, let's have it. This picture is costing me $1 million a day. It's not long enough. Do it again. Well, I'm off for the desert. Forgot my checkbook. Quiet! Quiet! Quiet on the desert! Quiet! Well, Reel, what's your excuse this time?
Well, Mr. Muldoon,
I don't see a drop of water out here anywhere.
But, Mr. Muldoon...
I told you to flood this entire desert under 26 feet of water. Now, what are we going to do with Esther Williams? In this picture, she won't swim. Well, in this picture, she just won't swim. She'll have to ride a camel, that's all. By the way, I don't see those camels anywhere.
But, Mr. Muldoon...
I suppose you're going to tell me that you forgot. You forgot a little thing like 30,000 camels. Oh, oh.
Mr. Muldoon, there is something that this army picture I've been trying to tell you.
Well, Reel, you're all mixed up. I know what you mean, though. Is this what you call a crowd? I asked for 100,000 Arabs, but do I get them? No, there's practically nobody out there. Looks like a group of Republicans lined up to vote.
Mr. Muldoon, I've been thinking...
Impossible. Where's the telephone?
Why?
Why, I'll tell you why. I want a crowd out there. I'm going to call Washington. Mr. Truman's the only one that's got 100,000 men not doing anything.
Well, Mr. Muldoon, there's no telephone way out here in the desert.
No, who says so? When Muldoon wants a telephone, Muldoon gets a telephone. Why, there's probably one hanging right here on this banana tree. By the way, Reel, where are those banana trees? Well, never mind. You've got a nickel?
Here you are, Mr. Muldoon. 5 cents.
Well, this picture's costing us a lot of money. Hello? What number did I dial? Well, how should I know what number I dialed? I'm a busy, busy, busy man. Give me the White House. No, I won't wait. I want the White House. I'm a busy, busy, busy man. Hello, White House? I want to talk to
You know who. Is he busy? Yeah, he's busy. I'll call later.
Mr. Muldoon, there's something about this army picture you ought to know.
Reel, you're off the track again. Have I fired you today?
No, Mr. Muldoon.
I haven't? You're fired!
Well, I'll be a second lieutenant.
All right. Now, places, everybody. Hurry up. It's going to take all day for 300,000 people to get set. You back there, stop blinking your eye. Now, when I give the signal, all 300,000 of you Arabs run out to that clearing in the desert. Now, the army planes, wait a minute. Yep, they're up there circling around. All right. At a signal from me, they'll swoop down and strafe you. They're using real bullets, so be careful. If any of you get mowed down, don't worry. You won't spoil the scene. This is only a rehearsal.
Mr. Muldoon, I just came out to tell you the picture is finished.
It is? Well, that's fine. All you Arabs out there, you can all go home. This army picture is finished.
There's only one thing wrong, Mr. Muldoon.
Well, what's that, real?
What I've been trying to tell you all along. This picture was not ordered by the Secretary of War.
It wasn't?
No. No, that letter was from the Secretary of the Navy. This army picture was supposed to be a Navy picture.
It's the blues. It's Midge Williams.
Out on a plane down near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day, and as he jumped along, I heard him singing the most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come to Ayaye, come to Ippie-Aye, why get along? Get hip, little doggy, get along. Better be on your way, get along. Get hip, little doggy, and he trucked him on down the old fairway, singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come to Ayaye, come to Ippie-Aye, singing his cowboy song. He's just too much. He's got a knockout western accent with a collar. He was raised on local meat. He's what you call a swing half breed. Singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come to Ayaye, come to Ippie-Aye, why get along? Get hip, little doggy, get along. Better be on your way, get along. Get hip, little doggy, and he trucked him on down the old fairway, singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come to Ayaye, come to Ippie-Aye, singing his cowboy song. He's just too much. He's got a knockout western accent with that howling touch. He was raised on local meat. He's what you call a swing half breed. Singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come to Ayaye, come to Ippie-Aye. Yip, 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 yip. Come to Ayaye, Ippie-Aye.
Stand by. Here's the news you've been waiting all week to hear. Here's the news thousands of you want to hear.
Folks, he's talking about the results of our Ginger Peachy contest announced last week. Remember, we told you to write a letter on the subject, how to get the Jack Webb Show off the air.
Didn't work, did it? Well, John, clean your glasses and read the winning letter.
Here it is, Jack. In part, it says, I read from the letter, quote chapter one entitled The Process of Air Fumigation for How to Get the Jack Webb Show off the air. The solution is to have each person in the country take deeper and more breaths, and it won't be long until all the air is used up, and then there'll be no air for Webb to be on.
How silly.
And it's signed Betty Ford, Pyramid Court, Sparks, Nevada. Congratulations, Miss Ford.
I hate you, Miss Ford. But I had enough of these pats on the back for Miss Ford. She wants to know what she's won. By the way, what did she win?
Oh, boy, she won, and how what she won.
Well, what did she win?
Well, Nora McNamara, we'll just put that geometry book away for a minute and come up here.
John, you don't mean we're giving Nora away.
No, well, no. Nora has the prize. And
oh,
here it is.
My, look at that thing, that king-size egg. Isn't that beautiful? What is that, John?
It's a genuine ostrich egg, laid fresh this morning from the California Ostrich Farm in Southern California. Yes, friends, this is a Hollywood egg.
Yes, sir, this ostrich egg has been autographed by all members of the cast, including John Galbraith, who makes his usual act. And it has been lacquered and placed on a solid wooden base. And all this, with our best wishes, will be shipped air express to the winner of this week's contest, Betty Ford, Sparks, Nevada. Well, right now... Tonight's egg was laid by the Ragged Airs, Clancy Hastings, the Casey Guesses with a vocal. Midge Williams as guest stars, teed off on a couple of songs. John Galbraith and Ethel Sterling missed their cues. Dick Breen glued the joints together. And this is Jack Webb. Give us another chance next Wednesday night at 9:30, will you? Good night, gang. See you then.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour of old-time radio. In between now and then, there's more at RelicRadio.com. Past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, a Shoutcast stream, and a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks, as always, to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another hour of radio drama on the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.